May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Vancha kalpata rubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself, rather he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy, Parama Nirmas Saranam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kalha Prasidatam, may all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manascha Badram Bhajatat Adhokshare. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Narsingadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Narsingmo Rudaye Narsingma. Let Lord Narsingadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from Him. Even pure Nishkama devotees pray for some benediction as instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastak. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Budho Kripayatava Pada Pankaja Stutaduli Sadrusham Vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama Janmani Janmanishware Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahetuki Thvai. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your Lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasude Narsingaya, he prays for a benediction from the Lord, but because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Swastastu Vishwasya. Let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake and the other is a man, like Hiranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakashipu was envious of his little son Prahlad, but Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakashipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kalha Prasidatam. The difficulty is that the Kala, envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of Kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the action of a particular herb. Mantraushadi Vasha Sarpa Kalakena Nivaryate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, Shivam Mitodhya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others, but in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. bhajatad adhokshaje. I've indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. And I've advised Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 18.65, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakta. One should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be alright. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to God. However, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. Hare Krishna. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text Number 9. One time Srila Prabhupada was in Canada and one man would attend the lectures regularly. It was a Bengali gentleman, some Banerjee. And he was attending, and suddenly one day he revealed his real nature. It turned out that he was very envious, because today's purport Prabhupada is talking of, one point that Prabhupada mentions in this purport is about envy. So this gentleman began to abuse Prabhupada right in front of all the disciples. And devotees were very disappointed. And then this man walked away angrily. So when he walked away, Srila Prabhupada just remained quiet. And then a few days later, Prabhupada inquired from the other devotees, "Where is this Mr. Banerjee? He doesn't come nowadays for the program." And devotees said, "Prabhupada, it is good that he is not coming because he is envious. He abused you and it was not nice." Prabhupada said, No, you should call him. He must have abused me because I must have done something to him in my past life. So that is why he must have done something. So that is okay. But why should we deprive him of Krishna consciousness? So in this pastime, Srila Prabhupada revealed what is a Vaishnava, which Prabhupada is mentioning in today's verse also. That Vancha Kalpadarubhya Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Pachitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namah. He is always wanting welfare of others. He is like a desire tree. And although a lot of envious people, they blaspheme a Vaishnava, Vaishnava always wishes good for them. This is the very important qualification of a devotee. I remember when we grew up as young boys, that time television was new in India, and one advertisement that really caught on the attention of the whole nation was when a particular product was being advertised, it was television, and the advertising company was saying, the slogan was, "Neighbors envy, owners pride." They were saying that you buy this television set, you will be very happy because all the neighbors would envy you because you have this television set. So envy is considered to be glorious in the outside world. If you can be envied by others, then you consider yourself very, very blessed or very fortunate that people envy me. I am so good. But for devotees, envy is definitely no cause of joy, because envy is an anartha which keeps us bound in this material world. After a lot of struggle, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Rupa Goswami, "Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij." After wandering through millions of species, through millions of universes, a living entity who is very, very fortunate by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, he gets devotional service. And then he practices devotional service and goes through the stages of sadhana bhakti, hoping that one day we will achieve prema, love for Krishna. And in this sojourn, in this material world, especially after coming to devotional service, when the path seems to be very, very fixed, in the sense it has been already established by Krishna and the Acharyas, that you have to keep on doing steady devotional service, at that point of time, this anartha of envy threatens to spoil the whole thing. And how do we know that we have this envy? Because many times you might say, well, I'm not envious. Because we hear pastimes like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastising Gopal Chappal. We know that pastime when Gopal Chappal put all the obnoxious things outside Shivas Thakur's house. Because Shivas Thakur was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this particular man, Gopal Chappal, he was very upset that he was not allowed in the Sankirtan. So he bought all the tantric worship substances and put them outside Shivas's house. And he ascribed all this to Shivas's own dubious and scandalous and illicit behavior. But Shivas, he didn't take any offense. He didn't mind. In fact, Shivas went around saying, I am so fallen. And this is what I am doing. So Gopal Chappal had committed a grave offense. And although Shivas didn't take offense, Mahaprabhu chastised him and cursed him. Now when we hear such pastimes, we think, well, if this is envy, then I am not envious because I will never do such a thing to another devotee. Actually, envy is more subtler than that. We might not be doing grossly activities like this. But for a devotee, how can we know that there is envy in our heart? A devotee can know he has envy when he doesn't feel ecstatic when he sees other devotees' progress in Krishna consciousness. When a devotee doesn't feel happy that others are advancing very nicely in devotional service, or they are advancing more than him, or they are developing some very nice expertise and skills, and they are pleasing Krishna. And if you are not feeling very happy, then you should know that you have envy. So a devotee always feels happy at others' progress. And of course, this envy towards other devotees, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, I think a few weeks back, was explaining the difference between, a technical difference between envy and jealousy. But for all practical purposes, it is bad. Like you are saying, jealousy means you feel, very good, you have this quality, I am very happy for you, but I wish I also had that. But envy is, I don't care if I get that quality or not, but I definitely want to see your downfall. So when you actually desire to harm others, that is actually envy. But the very fact that we want qualities which others have for ourselves is actually a symptom of envy, jealousy. Like somebody is very excellent in school, he comes first in class and all the other students envy him because they wish they could come first. Or you get promotion in your office and everybody else envies you. And out of envy, we act like crabs. The crab exporters, generally they do not put any lid on the containers because they are assured that the crabs won't escape. Because if they save a lot of money by not putting lids on the containers in which they export crabs. And they are not afraid that the crabs might escape because the crabs have a mentality of pulling the other down when the other crab is trying to escape. When one crab tries to escape, all the crabs jump on him and pull him down. So in material world we see this envy is very, 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 very obvious. People always try to pull the other person down. We see this in the media. We see superstars, politicians. When they become too popular, there are so many people wanting to pull them down. This is a characteristic feature of this material world. And a devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness is advised to be very careful in guarding against this anartha. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that a devotee should be free of envy and he doesn't mind even if envious people attack him, chastise him. Envy towards other devotees is basically rooted in our envy towards Krishna. Because Krishna is the reservoir of all good qualities. So if somebody has nice qualities and we envy him, that means we are actually envying Krishna because that quality which the devotee possesses is coming from Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that ekam shinastito jagat, there is one more verse before this where Krishna says that everything comes from me. You know that verse? No. There is one verse where he says that all these are insignificant energies of mine. So Krishna clearly establishes that all the things that are coming in this world are coming from him. Mama tejomsha sambhava. Everything is happening here. It is just one fragmental energy of mine. So if some devotee is excelling, he is actually revealing Krishna's mercy. So devotee, a real Vaishnava, he feels that, wow, this is great manifestation of Krishna's mercy through this devotee. How Krishna is doing most wonderful and fantastic things through this devotee. So devotee feels very joyful. And thus, a devotee makes more advancement because he becomes dear to Krishna by his non-envious nature. And when it comes to practical aspect of how to be free from this envy, which a devotee always desires, and that can be done by serving the devotee we are envious of. Because the first thing is to accept that we have this anartha. In fact, other anartha sometimes people accept. Like lust, devotees accept, I am lusty. Or if somebody falls victim to lusty activities, he confesses he is lusty and he desires repentance. But envy is so subtle that a devotee might even justify his envious outbursts or actions in the name of correcting. We have this example of Shishupal. Now, Shishupal was not only convinced that Krishna is bad, Krishna has all bad qualities, but he was aghast to see that nobody else is supporting him. Because envy makes you get convinced that you are right. That is the nature of envy. Therefore, for a devotee, first step is to accept that he has this anartha. That itself takes great courage and humility to accept that I am envious. So devotee first begins by accepting that he has this anartha and then sincerely renders service to these devotees who are having this. Sincerely serves all devotees against whom he is envious. One time Srila Prabhupada was in Calcutta. He asked Kaushalya Mataji, she bought prasad for Prabhupada. For Yamuna bought. And Prabhupada said, you cook very nicely, Yamuna. Are you teaching the other girls to cook? This was in Calcutta, 1971. And Yamuna was about to answer and Kaushalya was in the kitchen and she replied loudly. She said, Prabhupada, no, she's not taught us. And Prabhupada immediately told Yamuna that you should teach the others how to cook nicely, like you are cooking. Otherwise, slowly you will become envious of all devotees. So, Prabhupada was also, there are many instructions of Prabhupada, that is guarding devotees against falling victim to envy. So, devotee first begins by accepting that he has this anartha, and then he serves the devotees. And thirdly, he glorifies devotees always. So when we glorify, our hearts become soft and we can see the good qualities in others. Another point Srila Prabhupada is writing in today's purport, besides envy, is also the need to be always absorbed in Krishna. Man mana bhava mad bhakto. He is saying that a devotee is constantly absorbed in Krishna and is always offering prayers to Krishna. So prayer is also an important activity of a devotee. Prayer occurs when we break through the material covering and actually we speak to Krishna. That is prayer. So prayer means basically speaking to Krishna, chanting Krishna's names and entering the spirit of the Shastric shlokas and the different prayers of Acharyas. So therefore what prayer means is that it is not a mechanical activity but it is done wholeheartedly. Of course, some devotee might challenge that and in fact he might misquote Srila Prabhupada by saying that Prabhupada said work now, samadhi later. No, prayer, if you are constantly praying, it's not practical. But generally these statements are made by devotees who are a little insensitive because in our long devotional career, a culture of prayer is very, very beneficial. And a devotee cannot neglect this point. And generally this a devotee might make this accusation if he is not inclined to pray. Because we have to pray because Krishna becomes very pleased that we are using our free will to spend some time with Him. Because we have come to this material world because we wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. And by going further away from Him, we are increasing our stay here, duration of stay here. So when we take out exclusive time and spend that time with Krishna by chanting our 16 rounds, because chanting Hare Krishna is the most important prayer. So when we spend exclusively time with Krishna, and when we are affectionate towards Krishna, and we are asking for increased service, we are expressing a desire for increased service through our chanting and through our prayers, that prayer is very, very pleasing to Krishna. And how to pray? Christians have this famous story of Jesus Christ confronting a proud priest who was praying that, "My dear Lord, thank you that I am such a nice devotee. I am praying to every day. I am not like that people there who don't care for you." So he was praying nicely, but he was comparing himself with the others, common men, and he was criticizing them. Though externally it was appearing that this priest was making a nice prayer. For Jesus Christ detected the flaw in this prayer. And he revealed through his teachings that a prayer that is impregnated with pride will not be heard by Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is not concerned with the stylish words that we use in our prayers. He is not concerned with the melody with which we sing different kirtans. Nor is he interested in our scholarly presentation of the shastras. Therefore, Jesus Christ also said, "Thank you, O Lord, for keeping this knowledge a secret from the wise and intelligent and revealing it to those who are simple and innocent." So this is also the teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami of course says, "Siddhanta boliya chitte na karo alas." One should not be lazy to study the scriptures. But at the same time, we cannot study the scriptures as an exclusive intellectual exercise. Because ultimately what matters is devotion. And Krishna is known as Bhava Grahi Janardhan. He accepts the bhava, the offering of love, with which we render our services and prayers. And only by this love and service can we know and see Krishna. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. Only the eyes that are anointed with the salve of love can see and know Krishna. And this mood of prayer is revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam in so many places. And one particular personality, we can discuss a couple of prayers this personality is offering to Krishna. Now this is one of the most tragic and heroic figures from the Indian history. That is Srimati Kunti Devi. And she is expressing intense prayers to Krishna. And she is remembering Krishna a lot. Prabhupada compares her love for Krishna and her feeling of separation from Krishna as Krishna is leaving Hastinapur and going to Dwarka. Prabhupada uses the phrase that she is feeling like a fish out of water. She is feeling intense separation that Krishna is going away now. So she has got one pointed agenda. How to stop Krishna to ensure that he doesn't leave Hastinapur. And Prabhupada also says, she is feeling a thunderbolt of separation in her heart. And she is desperate to stop Krishna. So this is the setting in which Kunti Devi's exalted prayers are offered. And basically if we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto where these prayers are offered, we can easily see that these are simple, very simple prayers, but at the same time very illuminating. And they reveal the deepest transcendental emotions of a pure devotee. And at the same time, not only they are revealing emotions and sentiments of a pure devotee, these prayers also reveal the most profound philosophical and theistic truths, which are generally not expected from a very simple lady who is not a very big scholar. But she is revealing that also in her prayers. So when we study these prayers systematically, we can see both deep loving emotions towards Krishna, at the same time philosophical truths being established. And Prabhupada calls Kunti as Sati. And then he clarifies what is the meaning of the word Sati. Sati means Kunti Devi had exclusive devotion only to Krishna. She was not interested in any other demigods or anybody else for protection. She knew that Krishna is my only well-wisher and only protector. Therefore she is praying, Namasye Purusham Tvadyam Ishvara Prakrite Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antar Bahiravastitam. She is offering her first prayer by saying, O Krishna, I am offering my respectful obeisances unto you. Namasye Purusham Tadyam Ishvara Prakrite Param. You are Ishvara, you are the Supreme Lord, you are beyond this Prakriti. And most importantly, she is saying, Alaksham Sarvabhutanam. You are Alaksham. Krishna, you are Alaksham means you are invisible. You cannot be known, you cannot be seen by anybody in this world. Although, interestingly, Antar Bahir Avastitam. You are within everything and you are without everything. And still, nobody can see you. So first, she explains, Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord. She is glorifying Krishna. And she is saying, Krishna, you cannot be seen by everyone, although you are in everything and you are without everything. And then she is saying that why you are unknown? Because you have covered yourself. Maya javani kachannam agyadokshajam avyayam na lakshase mudadrisha nato natya dharoyata. She is saying, Krishna, you have covered yourself with your Maya energy. Maya javani kachannam agyadokshajam avyayam. And because of this, nobody can understand you. Nobody can know you. Because this curtain of Maya covers all the living entities. And then she is giving an example. Maya javani kachannam agyadokshajam avyayam na lakshase mudadrisha. Mudas, the fools and envious people, they cannot know you because nato natya dharo yatha. Just like a nato natya, just like an expert dramatist, he covers himself very nicely during a theatrical performance. Similarly, by your apparent human activities, you are covering yourself. And nobody can see you and nobody can know you. So first she says, Krishna, you cannot be known. And then she says, who cannot know Krishna? Second verse. Who cannot know Krishna? The fools cannot know. Why they cannot know? Because Krishna has covered. Now, all of us might have this question. If this is the condition, then Kunti Devi should also reveal to us, how can we see Krishna? How can we know Krishna? That also she should explain. For in the third verse, she clearly establishes who can understand Krishna and who can know Krishna. She says, only a devotee can know Krishna. Tata paramahansanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidanartam katam pashye mahistriya. She says only paramahansas, those are free from envy. Tata paramahansanam muninam amalatmanam, they are amalatmanam, they have no contamination in their heart. And when they execute bhakti yoga vidanartam, bhakti yoga, loving devotional service, they can know you. And then she reveals the most important element in our devotional service by which we can know Krishna. In the last line she is saying, bhakti yoga vidanartam katam pashye mahistriya. But how can I know you, Krishna? Because I am after all a simple woman. Katam pashye ma. How can I see you? Istriya, I am a stri. I am a woman. So I do not know you. Although she has established Krishna as the Supreme Lord, she is glorifying Krishna as being known only to the paramahansas who are free from envy. But she is at the same time saying, I cannot know you. I am not qualified because I am after all a simple woman. I have no devotion. So Prabhupada explains that although she is explaining she is not qualified, by this statement she is revealing that she is qualified to know Krishna because of her humility, of her feeling of disqualification in knowing Krishna. And there Srila Prabhupada gives many explanations to explain that how women gather in larger numbers in religious functions. They don't have any problem. They easily bow down to the Lord. They accept. And then Prabhupada writes this very classic statement. He says, simplicity of acceptance of Lord's authority is far, far more beneficial than showy, insincere religious fervor. Somebody might be very religious zealot. Somebody might be having big gungo talks. Might be giving profound intellectual lectures. But here, Kunti Devi, by her simple devotion and acceptance of Krishna and love for Krishna, she surpassed all. And thus she qualifies herself that she alone has the right to know Krishna, because she possesses this most essential ingredient of humility. So she proves by her devotional service that one need not be a great scholar to know Krishna. It said that one time a priest and a taxi driver, both were in the heaven for their pious activities. And the in charge in heaven told the priest that this is a palace for you because of your pious activities. And then he told the driver, this is a bigger palace for you. For the priest was shocked. He said, I have been a priest whole life and you are giving me a small palace. And you are a taxi driver and you are giving him a bigger palace? How come? For the in charge of the heaven told the priest that, my dear priest, when you gave lectures in your church, everybody was falling asleep. But when this taxi driver was driving, he was driving so recklessly that people were intensely chanting God's names and remembering the Lord. So they were sitting behind and remembering the Lord so much. So he helped more. The point I'm trying to make is that we can't go simply by externals in devotional service. So Kunti Devi, apparently, she is not qualified, in the sense she was not a great scholar, she was not giving powerful lectures, she was a simple woman. But at the same time, she had captured Krishna by her desire to stop Krishna from leaving Hastinapur. So she was feeling intense separation. And we also find in the 10th canto how the gopis, they were also simple women. But because of their love and attachment and remembrance of Krishna, they conquered Krishna. In fact, it is explained that the most important verse in Bhagavad Gita is Manmana Bhava Mat Bhakto, always remember me. And the gopis personified this. They were always absorbed in Krishna. So they are actually the most advanced devotees. And when Akrura came to Vrindavan to take away Krishna, the gopis, they ran towards the cart of Akrura and they placed their bodies in front of the cart and they were willing to give up their bodies somehow to stop Krishna from leaving Vrindavan. In fact, it was a social custom that many people didn't know that the gopis were loving Krishna and they were secretly meeting him. But now as Krishna was leaving, the gopis had to leave their house and come out in the open and stop Krishna. And that would mean that everybody comes to know that they have a relationship with Krishna. But they didn't care for that. Sukhdev Goswami describes, Evam bruhanam virahaturadrisham vrajastriya krishna vishakta manasa visrijya lajjam rurusma susmaran govinda damodara madaveti. He is explaining that the vrajastri, the women, the gopis of Vrindavan, evam bruhanam virahaturadrisham, they were feeling viraha, they were feeling intense separation from Krishna leaving Vrindavan. Vrajastriya vishakta manasa, and their mind was completely absorbed in Krishna. So they could not fathom, they could not reconcile to the fact that Krishna was now leaving Vrindavan. So what did they do? They gave up the most important thing. Visrijya lajjam rurusma susmaran, they gave up their lajja. Lajja means shyness. They gave up their shyness and they ran towards Krishna. Visrijya lajjam rurusma susmaran, and they were constantly shedding torrents of tears in their ecstatic love for Krishna, trying to stop him from going to Mathura. And smaran, rurusma susmaran, and they were constantly remembering Krishna as they were. And then they were chanting different names of Krishna. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. So they were chanting, Govinda, O Madhav, O Damodar, you cannot leave. So Krishna was completely captured by their love. In fact, for that reason he sent Uddhava also to Vrindavan on a specific mission with this message later on. But the real reason the Acharyas revealed was Krishna wanted Uddhava to get this special mercy. He wanted to see the love that gopis have for him and realize that his love is insignificant compared to the love that the gopis have for Krishna. Therefore, devotees, they are always absorbed in Krishna. And even in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where we are studying Kunti Devi's prayers, she also is absorbed in Krishna and she is trying to stop Krishna from leaving Hastinapur. And so first she glorifies Krishna, she praises Krishna. However, when we come in front of Krishna, we can learn this lesson from Kunti Devi. Our Kunti Devi, when she comes in front of Krishna, first she is glorifying, she is praising Krishna. But when we come in front of Krishna, generally, a neophyte devotee, before we even glorify and praise, we have a list of demands from Krishna. Hamari mange puri karo. We just immediately, Krishna, I want this, I want this, I want that. But she first glorifies, she first praises Krishna. And then she says, very interesting thing. She glorifies Krishna in connection with his devotees because she knows that Krishna likes to be always related with his devotees. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Nama. She says, Krishna, you are the son of Vasudev. You are Devaki Nandan. You are Nanda Gopa Kumara. So she is using different names of Krishna which is related with his devotees. Because there are two things Prabhupada reveals in this purport. That first is, Kunti Devi is adoring Krishna's incarnation as the sweetest. She knows Krishna has many incarnations, but she is most attracted to the Krishna incarnation because Krishna, in Krishna incarnation, is most approachable. Like Prabhupada compares in that purport Krishna with Ram. Oh, Lord Ramchandra was also son of a king, like Krishna was son of Vasudeva and Devaki. But the difference was Lord Ramchandra remained in Ayodhya. But what did Krishna do? He left Mathura. He went to Vrindavan to play in the lap of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and give joy to the residents of Vrindavan and sanctify that place. Therefore, Prabhupada compares Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda with Vasudeva and Devaki and he says Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are more fortunate than Vasudeva and Devaki, although they had Krishna as their own child, because Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda could relish these childhood pastimes of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also confirmed that the residents of Vrindavan are most fortunate. So Kunti Devi, she is revealing how Krishna is Nanda Gopa Kumara, he is Devaki Nandana, he is son of Vasudeva. Like that, he is connecting him with different devotees. And Prabhupada also says how these prayers are very profoundly philosophical by revealing that by this one prayer, she is defeating hardcore Mayavadis. How? Because she already said in the first prayer that Krishna, you are alaksham, you are invisible to everyone, you cannot be known by anyone. But at the same time, now she is saying Vasudeva, because the literal meaning of Vasudeva is all pervading. So she is using the word Vasudeva three times in this verse, that Krishna, you are all pervading, you are unknown, and at the same time she is also calling Krishna by in connection with his devotees. So she is revealing how Krishna is unknown, is all pervading, yet the same person is most dear to devotees. So she is revealing that Krishna has a form. He is a person. He is a person with relationships. Therefore, Kunti Devi knows that Krishna likes to be related with his devotees. Like ordinary men, they pray to Krishna in the role of a son praying to father. But Krishna, he likes the reference of Vrindavan because they have a different relationship. Because most of them, they take a better or superior position to Krishna. So this is the advantage of following Kunti Devi's footsteps. We can understand from her prayers that what Krishna likes, what is Krishna's identity, who is Krishna, all these things are revealed. Like if you want to know a person, you want to know his name, his father's name, where does he stay. Similarly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find everything about Krishna. We find Krishna's identity. Who is his parents, what does he like, where does he stay. So these things are revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this praising and glorification of Krishna, which is there in most of the prayer, in fact, all the prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find this praising of the Lord. This is an integral part of a devotee's life. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam class we give, or any preaching activity we do, is basically simply glorification of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was in Boston one time, and he was giving a talk. And Sasarup Maharaj had arranged this program in one big auditorium. And there are 2,000 people, all hippies and kind of not interested. They didn't know anything about India, Indian culture. And Prabhupada, in this whole new audience who couldn't relate to the Swami, was giving a talk to them. And the first sentence that Prabhupada told them was, "Thank you, all of you young boys and girls who have assembled here today. I'm extremely grateful to all of you for today giving me an opportunity to glorify Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So Prabhupada was thanking them because he was feeling that they have given him a chance today to once again glorify Krishna. So devotee always is looking for an opportunity to please Krishna and glorify Krishna. Therefore, prayers also reveal this mood of a devotee. Another time, Prabhupada was in, a program had been arranged in New York when, in the initial days, in the Hudson Hall, very big hall, auditorium, and hardly a few people came. But Prabhupada was happy. Prabhupada said, "Didn't you see? Narad Muni was there, Brahmaji was there. When you are glorifying Krishna, all the demigods come." And later, at Olympia Theatre in France, Prabhupada was called for one day to Paris by Bhagwan Prabhu and others, just to give one talk. And hardly 40 people attended in an auditorium which had capacity of more than 2,000. This was a big disappointment for the devotees. However, Prabhupada had a normal program. He had kirtan, lecture, question answers, and he was ecstatic. And when devotees apologized for a poor organizational effort on their part, Prabhupada was not disturbed. Prabhupada said, it's a very nice statement. Prabhupada told this devotee, "Don't be concerned if no one, I won't be concerned if no one accepts Krishna consciousness. I will shout at the top of my voice to the sun, to the moon. I will shout to the stars and I will shout in the wilderness that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because ultimately, I want a certificate from Krishna that here is a sincere soul who tried to give Krishna consciousness to others. Because we don't want certificate from a pack of donkeys." Prabhupada's statement. So like this, Kunti Devi is also glorifying Krishna. She is praising Krishna. And in her prayer, she continues to say, "Namo Pankaja Nabhaya, Namo Pankaja Maline, Namo Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangre." Krishna, Namo Pankaja Nabhaya, your navel is lotus-like, beautiful. Namo Pankaja Malini, you have lotus garland, lotus flower garland on your body. And Namo Pankaja Netra, your eyes are like lotus petals. Namaste Pankajangre, and your bodily limbs are as beautiful as a lotus. Prabhupada clarifies, don't think that Krishna's body is only as beautiful as a lotus. Krishna's body is much, much more beautiful than a lotus, but in material world we use a comparison of lotus. But Krishna is far beyond that. So she is saying that Krishna, you are so beautiful. So she is glorifying Krishna's bodily limbs. And Prabhupada says, generally we glorify Krishna from lotus feet. We take darshan from lotus feet. But here Kunti Devi, she is first addressing his navel. And then she is going to lotus feet in the end. Ulta. How come? Prabhupada says, Kunti Devi was feeling a little shy because she was related to Krishna as an aunt. So she didn't want to embarrass Krishna by looking at his lotus feet first. Krishna would be embarrassed. My aunt is, you know, looking at my lotus feet. But then Prabhupada writes, but ultimately everything, in the round everything is in order. Prabhupada says, ultimately in the round everything is in order. Because ultimately she is glorified Krishna. She is praised different qualities of Krishna. And in her prayer she also glorifies Krishna's devotees. How they are so superior to her. Gopya dade tvahi kritagasi damadavad yate dashashru kalilanjana samramaksham vatram niniya bhava bhavana yastitasya samam vimo yati bhirapi yad bibeti. She says, my dear Krishna, Gopya dade, she is referring to Yashoda. Gopyadade Twahi Kritagasida Madava. She was chasing you and you were running away from her. Yate Dashashru Kalilanjana Sambramaksham. And as you were running away from her in fear, you were crying. And the tears from your lotus eyes were making the mascara which your mother had put on your eyelids and eyebrows, they were becoming wet. Vaktram niniya bhava bhavanaya sthitasya. And as you are running away in fear, I am bewildered to see this sight. Samam vimoyati birapi yad bibeti. Because fear personified is afraid of you, but you are afraid of Yashoda. So when I see this sight, I get bewildered. How can this happen? So in other words, she is glorifying Krishna, and Prabhupada says, Kunti Devi is glorifying Yashoda. That how Yashoda, she is so powerful that she could control the Supreme Lord and Krishna could even be afraid of her. And in that purport, Prabhupada says, Lord accepts the chastisements of his devotees and reproaches of his fiancées more palatably and more cheerfully than the chanting of Vedic hymns. So therefore, she is revealing Yashoda's exalted position, because if Yashoda had been conscious that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then she wouldn't have punished Krishna. So indirectly she is praising Yashoda for being able to control Krishna. For like this we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam there are wonderful prayers offered by different devotees which helps us fulfill the requirement that Prabhupada is imploring us to have, that is Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta, that is develop complete attachment and absorption in Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody have any comments or questions? If it is Edubar Prabhu, would you like to give some comments? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu, what is the question?
You know, you mentioned that if someone is envious of us, or if we're envious of someone else, then we should do a few things. We should try to glorify that devotee.
We are envious of someone.
Yeah. But the general practice is that one should glorify the devotee and also offer service. So now, how do you know that if someone is glorifying you and offering service to you, you could think, hey, this guy is envious of me. And then if you come to an environment where everyone is glorifying you and everyone is serving you, you think, are these guys all envious? So how would you explain that?
You don't have to be afraid. It's not like that. Everybody who glorifies and serves you is not envious. Definitely. But those who are envious can do this service, can do this. That will purify their heart. It is not that anybody who is serving is envious, so he wants to get purified. It's not like that. In fact, devotees serve out of happiness. They love to serve Vaishnavas. And some devotees have a problem. They might serve. But a devotee never thinks that others are envious of me, because a Vaishnava never thinks that, oh, people are envious of me, because he never thinks that he has any qualities to be envious of. So a Vaishnava always thinks how he is envious of others and how he has to improve. So a devotee never thinks that, oh, he is serving me because he is envious of me. No, that thought never comes to a devotee's mind. How can anybody be envious of me? It's no way. It's not possible. So a devotee should be very happily serving. At the same time, we should not have this thought that just because some devotees are serving us and glorifying us, oh, it's that they are envious and they want to cure their disease. It's not like that. In general, a devotee might glorify all devotees, because he might feel that in general I have envy. And because that's because that is the reason why I am in this material world. And Krishna likes it most when I glorify devotees. So let me glorify all devotees. So next time some devotee glorifies you, please don't think that he is envious. In fact, devotee thinks when he receives glorification that he doesn't have this quality, but this devotee is glorifying me so that I develop this quality and I serve devotees better. So a devotee always takes it as an instruction from another devotee who is glorifying him and an encouragement to render better devotional service. So he takes it as an instruction and encouragement to render better devotional service. Hare Krishna. So one last question. We are late. Is okay? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.